Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Isaac Rupp.
You've been busted. You lost your qualifications as section leader 3 times.
Jason Sukanik.
You're lucky to be here. Your family name ain't the best in the Navy. I'd like to bust your butt, but I can't. I got another problem here.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk. This sounds very serious. They are not.
I gotta give you your dream shot. I'm gonna send you up against the best. You two characters are going to...
Primetime on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080.
You guys are number one.
The Fan.
Welcome in just after 5 o'clock on a very rainy Wednesday. It's supposed to rain the next couple days, but here on the weekend, it's supposed to get nice again. Plus, we got all this baseball and we got NFL tomorrow, so just sit down and, watch some sports. Hunker in, and then over the weekend, you can get out and do what you need to go do. This Yankee-Red Sox game is nuts.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's been played tight the whole way. It seems like both sides have had runners on base pretty much all game, and we're at 3-3 now, top 7, with the Yankees trying to get out of a jam.
And if this thing goes the way of the Red Sox, then we will have 3 of the 4 series guaranteed to get us an elimination game tomorrow,
yep.
And then we'll see what happens with Cincinnati and L.A. in the nightcap. Wanted to touch upon some college and NFL stuff. Not exactly like a dynamite college football slate, but I did see apparently the Big Ten is in conversations to basically take on a new partner. They're mulling around a $2 billion private capital deal.
Yeah.
And this is interesting because the private equity thing has been dancing around college football for quite some time. We're living in this new, weird, bizarre world of college football where you're basically having to deal with the fallout of, for the first time, you actually have to pay your labor, right? I'm not going down the whole slave thing, okay? I've seen some people throw that out. Stop it. Yeah. I think that does a disservice to the people that actually had to go through that horrible thing. But you did have a situation that for 100-plus years, you didn't have to pay for your labor. And all of a sudden, just over the last handful of years, it's like, oh my God, we have to pay for labor. What do we do? And so all of a sudden, where finances used to be, hey, man, we got money to burn. Everyone's making money now. Everyone wants a lot of money. And now you actually have to pay the players. You now have coaches making $10 plus million a year. In almost every state, that's the highest paid public employee. You have massive donors of these programs, and you have the haves and the have-nots. And so you now have all these other schools that are trying to find a way to keep up. And remember, this goes back. There was that Redbird Capital that was talking about trying to do this with like the Florida States of the world.
Yep, yep. And they said they had interest from as many as like 50 different athletic departments.
Yes. And so Boise State talked about this. Boise State said that they may be the first one to strike a private equity deal.
Yep.
And what you have here is you have the Big Ten saying, no, we're not going to do individual private equity. We're basically going to add a financial partner to the entire league. So what is being kicked around? And they said that they aren't going to vote on this for a couple of weeks. And they said they basically want to have universal approval before they do this. So they want to take on a $2 billion investment from a private equity firm.
Mm-hmm.
$2 billion in cash that would be dumped into the league and obviously get distributed throughout all the teams, which is interesting because who has the best media rights deal in all of college football?
The Big Ten.
The Big Ten.
Yeah.
I mean, they're paying out 80-plus million per schools.
Yeah.
Now, like, Oregon
getting
only...
a half share, right?
Oregon only gets a smaller piece. Washington gets a smaller piece. But eventually, they will.
Right.
But even schools like Rutgers are taking in $80 million.
Yeah.
So you would think that this would be something more along the lines of the ACC or the Big 12, which only kick out about $30 million per year. But if the Big Ten does this, essentially, the other conferences are going to do it. Also important here that if the Big Ten does this, this essentially stops super conferences. You know, there's been a lot of talk of private equity coming in and basically siphoning off 40 to 50 of the big boys and basically just having their own thing. And the West Virginias of the world, the BYUs of the world, the Purdues would basically be chopped and regulated down to a lesser division. At least in this world, if this were to happen, this eliminates the Big Ten from many of those conversations.
Right. That conference essentially stays intact.
Yes. And if that happens, you kind of wonder if that kind of kills the idea of one giant super conference.
Right.
How are you going to have a giant super conference without Penn State, without Oregon, without Ohio State, without Michigan?
You kind of can't unless you're essentially dividing the country into Big Ten, SEC, and then everybody else.
Yes.
I guess if you wanted to do something like that, let's say the 12 or 16 playoff, you're taking 75% from those two big leagues, and then you're given the other top 50 their own open season to do whatever. I mean, there's a path to some different landscape, but yeah, this would largely stop that, at least in the immediate.
So this basically extends the grant of rights and allows this private equity firm to basically, they're not selling a piece of the conference. This is how, by the way, they're getting around this. Because the idea of private equity scares a lot of people. Like, if you're a team, if Oregon sells a piece of their team to a private equity firm, what does that mean? Do they get a say in who gets hired? Do they get a say in what facilities get built? And what the Big Ten is saying here, it basically just creates a 20th member.
Yeah.
There's 18 teams.
Uh-huh.
There's the league that gets a share of the revenue, mm-hmm. and now you would have
a 20th body or entity. Yeah.
And they would get a payout commiserate with what everyone else is getting or whatever deal they strike with it. And then it would give that private equity firm basically the power to then negotiate for the Big Ten. They would negotiate revenue. They would negotiate
future rights deals,
all of that, sponsorships. So get ready for everything in the Big Ten to be branded with
every field logo. Yes. You know, the ones that you see that usually have the conference logos at like the 35-yard line. Those will all be corporate. Maybe even in the end zones too.
Yeah. So they're saying that it would essentially form a new commercial entity within the Big Ten that would house all revenue generations, such as media rights, sponsorships, and league revenue streams. This is weird. This is strange. It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And if it comes to the Big Ten, then it's coming to the SEC. Mm-hmm. And if it comes to the SEC, it's coming for the rest of college football.
Yeah.
This is where this is going. And I'm not certain if this is better or worse than the one super conference.
I feel like it's better than that, but it also will probably create even more division. And then those other schools, those other non-SEC schools who want to be competitive, it'll force their hand to do something.
Someone said, private equity knows one thing, extracting money out of whatever they invested in. Short-term win, long-term loss. I have heard that from plenty of people
mm-hmm.
that say, find me one thing that private equity comes in and makes better.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess in theory, what the Big Ten is trying to say is they don't get a say. Like, we are not selling part of the Big Ten. We are just taking on a partner. And that sounds great in theory.
Until they're dictating everything and you don't like it, but you're contractually tied to letting them do it.
And I guess the devil's in the details, right? Sure. How much authority?
Well, look at Oregon State.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know who was holding the bag on that on that thing that they signed with Blueprint, but clearly there was not enough due diligence done, and now they're kind of hooped. They're losing a bunch of money, so whoever's in charge of negotiating this thing, you better be real sure you look at this thing with a fine-tooth comb.
But it's just, this is the future of college football. For the first time, you have to pay your talent, and it doesn't feel like almost anyone has the ability to do so and feel comfortable.
Right.
Because in order to all of a sudden siphon off $20 million a year to pay for your athletes mm-hmm. at the highest level mm-hmm. and then throw NIL on top of it, I mean, that Oregon State deal is a prime example of this. If you don't know, there was a report from Sportico, mm-hmm. and it was basically confirmed. Durton Sprague had the author on today.
Yep.
And he said, by the way, Oregon State is not... The details of that deal came out, that basically the was it Blue Ribbon Sports?
Blueprint
was a company that essentially was being outsourced for Oregon State's NIL and fundraising. Mm-hmm. They basically take 50 to 75% of every dollar
that gets raised before it goes into the athletes into the program.
Yes, which seemed to be a shocking amount.
To most people who saw it, they're like, why would anyone sign off on this?
And by the way, it sounds like a lot of Oregon State fans are really pissed.
Because they weren't aware that money that they're kicking in, half is going to some managing body.
And Oregon State originally kind of denied the figures in the report, and then the guy that wrote the report was like, I actually have the contract, and those numbers are right.
Yeah, I think it was one of those public records requests or whatever. Public university, you can get that stuff.
So now Oregon State looks like a bunch of clowns, because there's nothing worse than denying something and then Pablo Torre essentially being like, oh yeah, by the way, here's the contract. And so I think what you have happening right now is all of a sudden you have people being like, what the hell, man? So I'm donating money and half of it is going to a company that, and it never sees the athletic department, it never sees a student athlete. So you have all this lack of transparency. You have all these schools that are desperate to try to come up with some way to fund all this. And it doesn't feel like there's any end to this other than finding ways to get large cash influxes. And I'm just telling you, if the Big Ten is the one conference that probably doesn't need a giant influx of cash, they have it. And if they're doing this and they're the first ones, every other domino will fall.
Yeah,
and everyone will be doing this.
If the writing's on the wall for one of the ones that stands to be positioned the best to be financially successful, then the ones who are concerned about that are certainly going that direction. Yeah.
And so this is just kind of we're in this weird transition phase of college football where we want it to be like the olden days, and it's never going to be again. And however this ends up going, there will be key moments in this where dominoes fall, like building blocks, right? The first time that NIL was allowed, right? That was a building block. The first time revenue sharing, that was a building block. The first time a private equity comes in and makes a deal with the Big Ten, there, and you just keep having these. The first time someone unionizes, which, by the way, that's coming at some point, right? We've already had a couple schools.
Plenty of times we've heard rumblings.
So, like, you're going to get these things that eventually kind of lead us. It may just take us a while to get there. But if the Big Ten, and they said they may not vote for a couple of weeks, dude, this could happen this season. By the time we get to Thanksgiving, the Big Ten could have taken on a $2 billion influx in cash from a private equity firm. And once that happens, college football will not be the same, because then it will be a race from other private equity firms. And it says the Big Ten, by the way, is looking at about three or four different ones to kind of get this done. So if you have one that goes with the Big Ten, how much you want to bet that the other two or three that don't get it, they're probably already on the phone right now with the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the SEC gets theirs done, then it'll just be a hunt and peck.
Yep.
And it'll trickle down, because the conferences that really need it will be the Mountain West and the Pac-12.
And there are programs there that have enough value that they should be part of the college football landscape going forward, but they probably are going to need the help.
But it's one of those, if private equity is the thing that saves your ass, you may... Be careful, right?
Yeah.
That is a Faustian deal at best.
Deal with the devil in theory.
Yeah. So that's just, I thought that was interesting when I saw that report come out. And we're so flooded with these sorts of stories that I think a lot of people become numb to them and they kind of fly underneath the radar. But these are things that are important. If you're a college football fan, these are things that you should pay attention to, because they do matter. They absolutely do matter in the long run of where your sport or where your team goes next. When we come back, we'll actually talk about the on-field stuff, because I do think there's a couple big college football games this weekend that you should pay attention to, even though we have some buys and they're not a lot of sexy top 25 matchups. We'll go over four or five games on the schedule that, for me in particular, I'm interested in, because I think they're going to, I think there's some, we're at that point in the season where you start to kind of sift through what you think you know versus what you really know about some of these teams. That when we come back. You ever feel judged by targeted ads, by the way? Like,
oh yeah.
My phone has now rung twice in the midst of this show,
uh-huh.
And I don't recognize the numbers, so I just, like, no, ignore, let it go to voicemail. Sure. Plus, I can't answer the phone in the middle of the show. Both have been for, like, tax resolution places. I don't owe any taxes. I don't know where that comes from, but, like, I feel targeted. And then anytime my online ads, I am getting, I didn't know this was the thing, I am getting, like, Asian massage parlor ads up the wazoo, like, beamed at me all the time. Every one of my feeds now that I have has some sort of basically a rub and tug place. I didn't know that those were targeted ads. Why are you sending me these things?
Does it have anything to do with the some of the off-color radio topics?
I don't know. But apparently my phone and my computer think that I'm a tax fraud and that I'm interested in, look, who's to say, that I'm interested
in... Is your phone wrong?
Well... I didn't realize, like, because I, like, you get those ads, right? Like, if you're talking about something, you get ads. But you should see some next time, next break, I will come and show you, like, these ads that are popping up on my phone and my computer. It's like they're for a massage, but it's clearly not a massage. That is not
a special massage.
It's not what they're advertising.
Orchids of Asia coming for Souk.
I feel very judged. I feel very judged right now. I'm like, my God. I felt better when I was getting Yarmakula ads being sent my way.
Yeah, that's a little more palatable.
Yeah. Now I just feel like, with every one of these things, I'm like, do I owe taxes? Am I a tax cheat and I didn't even realize it?
Probably.
Maybe that's my thing. I owe so much in taxes that I need to go get relaxed. Like, I can tell the BTJ, I'm like, honey, I don't know what to tell you. I just keep getting these ads. I feel like I should go check out.
I'm sure, I'd feel better if I did something about it.
Go check out one of these places. It is not a great weekend of college football by any stretch of the imagination. Last week was big matchups. This, not so much. In fact, I don't know if we have a top. We do. We have Vandy and Alabama.
That's the only ranked matchup.
Yeah.
With both teams ranked.
Which, by the way, that's an intriguing matchup.
It is. I mean, you talked earlier about maybe there being some prove-it games there. Obviously, Alabama looked great. And,
yes.
You know, I don't know that we're going to say, ready to say they're back yet based on what they did at Georgia. But this'll tell a lot because that Vandy squad, they're some giant slayers. Their quarterback loves to play in these underdog spots. And this is, in theory, a spot that Alabama should handle business. But we've had enough question marks about them, what we saw against Florida State early in the year, and just kind of not looking like the machine we expected them to. Was the Georgia win a fluke? Was the Florida State loss a fluke?
That's
somewhere in between.
Yeah, and Vandy being 5-0.
Yeah.
And they beat South Carolina. I think Sellers was out of that game. But
yeah, they knocked him out of that game.
They knocked him out of that game. But sitting there at 5-0, they're kind of talking S the same way that Boston or Florida State was talking crap.
Yep.
I do kind of want to see where this goes because Alabama under DeBoer has really been kind of highs and lows.
Mm-hmm.
They have Georgia's number. They show up in some of these big games, but seemingly they lose these sorts of games. Right, last year, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was Vanderbilt at the end of the year that knocked him out of the playoffs.
Right, it was the whole, they marched the field goal posts out of the stadium and all that.
So I think that one's kind of intriguing. The other one that I want to watch, and it's kind of crazy because it involves a 1-3 team, I want to see Texas.
That was the one that I had circled
this
weekend.
Yeah, that one circled too.
That was my number one game. I'll be interested to see how it plays out because, by all accounts, based on their ranking, their overall skill at just about every position, Texas should go in and win that game. But
yes,
the Gators are a wounded animal, frisky at home in the swamp. Their quarterback has not been playing well, but their defense has been playing okay. And if they can heat up Arch Manning a little bit, and that could be a rock fight.
This is what I want to see. And it's how quickly narratives change in the world of college football.
Mm-hmm.
Arch Manning at the start of the season. I love how just collectively as the media, we've just moved on.
Not even mentioning him.
Every one of those donkeys, from Paul Feinbaum on down, that told me that Arch Manning, and I don't like to do the save receipts because I'm wrong about a million things. But every now and then I'm right about something, and my God, was I right about Arch Manning.
The hype was way overblown.
Yes, it was based on nothing.
And that's just it. If he had some flashes, even last year behind Ewers when he was forced into duty, that made you go, oh, I see why he's the next guy. But he didn't. He had issues with ball security. He wasn't necessarily making the throws. It was, at best, pedestrian. And so there hasn't been anything that we've actually seen besides high school recruiting rankings and then the last name Manning that tells us this guy actually is awesome.
And they have played in four games, and he has looked bad to average in three of those. It wasn't until Sam Houston State,
mm-hmm.
though I don't think they're State anymore. I think they're just Sam Houston. So credit to Sam Houston.
Yeah, that was the one where Arch flexed on him after the rushing touchdown.
Exactly. And Florida may not be good, but Florida's defense can still play. Florida's defense will hunt.
Yep.
And I want to see Arch Manning against a real defense because Texas came off a bye, and quietly Texas has just kind of settled to like ninth in the country. We don't talk about them, right? They went from the most talked about story in college football and the most hyped player that I've seen, honestly, in 15 years.
Title favorites and Heisman favorite, right?
And yes, and now just like a fart in the wind, a virgin on prom night, vanished. And here's an opportunity. You got Florida and you got Oklahoma. Now you're into the meaty part of your schedule. And the nice thing about Florida is they can't score. So Texas should handle their business. And more importantly, Arch should look good. And so this to me is kind of a prove it game.
Absolutely.
I need to see Arch Manning actually do something that warrants us even having a discussion about him.
About him and about their team's prospects of being a playoff team.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, you could even win this game, but if he doesn't look good, this team's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I need to see that. And the other one that I'm intrigued about, before we get to Oregon State, which I think is, you know, Oregon State's is a dog to Appalachian State.
Uh-huh.
But UW Maryland. Okay, so I have been pretty high on UW most of the year, and I've said I think UW is a bowl team. I think UW is a 9-win team, and I think at the end of the year, there's potential for like that Oregon UW game to actually have meaning.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think UW is not a playoff team, but I am a believer in what UW is.
They could mess up a playoff team's hopes for sure.
Yes. And maybe even for UW, when you look at their schedule, remember, in today's world, you can lose two games and still have the end of the year with a chance to make some noise. If UW only stubs their toe once the rest of their way, and if you look at their schedule, there is winnable games on this schedule.
Yeah, let's say they only lose to a number one Ohio State and potentially a 2 or 3 Oregon.
Yes.
That's a good enough resume that if you handle the rest of your business, you might have a shot at the end of the year.
Or I make the argument, let's say they lose to Illinois.
Yeah.
And you beat Maryland, Rutgers, Michigan, Wisconsin, Purdue, UCLA. By the way, a real possibility.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, that Oregon game at the end of the year?
Massive.
Massive.
Yep.
Because you're a two-loss team. Rivalry game with a chance to beat the number one or number two team in the country, depending on where they're at, or at least a top five team. So this Maryland one is interesting because last week I wanted to see where UW stacked up.
And I think this is a tricky spot for UW.
It is. Maryland's undefeated.
They're one of the, we talked about this off air earlier. They're one of only three teams in the country that have not trailed yet this year. Now their schedule hasn't been super impressive, but this is a cross country trip after you just emptied the tank at home against the number one.
And they have a freshman quarterback that's playing real well. This Malik Washington. He's a freshman, big old kid, 6'5", like 230 pounds. He looks like Cam Newton. Just an absolute beast, and Maryland's got a little something cooking. And like you said, you emptied the tank, and you wanted to see that Ohio State was your measuring stick, right? Well, guess what? You're not Ohio State. Didn't think you were Ohio State. But I thought Washington had a decent accounting for themselves. That was, and I know when you watch that game, it wasn't like Washington was as good as Ohio State. They found a way to muck that game up, and that was a one-score game. That was an 8-point game going into the fourth quarter, and Washington left points on the board. So I think for Washington, this is kind of one of those, well, what are you? Are you the team that ran the number 3 offense in the country those first 3 weeks? Or are you the team against real competition like Ohio State? You kind of wilted in the biggest moments and you weren't ready for prime time. Because if Washington is closer to the team that I think can make some noise, you need to beat Maryland. You need to beat Rutgers. Those are games last year that Washington had. Remember, they lost to Rutgers. They lost to Washington State in close games. They had no business losing. So this to me is a huge game on the road after Ohio State. Go prove that those ugly losses are behind you and you only lose to teams that are superior to you. Because you can't convince me that a Maryland team, which was one of the worst teams in the Big Ten last year, has suddenly gotten better than where you're at. I think that's a big game. And then the other one is, I think it's a must-win for Trent Bray. You are 0-5. If you go on the road, and I still think it's insulting that Oregon State is an underdog in this game, I would be pissed if I was a Beaver fan. Now, it's 1.5. But to me, there is no excuse for Oregon State to go on the road and lose to App State.
So I'm looking at App State's resume so far. They're 2-2.
2-2.
They've beat Charlotte convincingly. They beat Lindenwood by a touchdown. They lost to Southern Miss by 16, and they got smoked by Boise State.
Let me say it again. There is zero excuse, none, for Oregon State not getting your S together and having some pride. You are 0-5, for God's sakes. You're like one of three winless teams in America. And you now have a slate of games, from App State to Wake Forest to Lafayette to Washington State to Sam Houston to Tulsa. There's no one on this schedule that's going to have a giant talent advantage on you. Circle the wagons. If Trent Bray loses to App State, he shouldn't make the trip home.
Gotta make a change.
You have to make the change. What are you waiting for at that point? I said this about Houston. You had to show me something against Houston, and you did. You were better than Houston. Oregon State was Oregon State was better than
Houston.
They
blew that game that they should have won.
They gacked it away, which, again, I think that's happened twice. I thought you were better than Fresno State. You mm-hmm. were better than Houston. Mm-hmm. And, again, I put that on coaching, preparation, execution. You couldn't get it done. So now if you were better than Houston and you were better than Fresno State, there's no excuse for losing to App State. None. At some point, you got to put your big girl panties on and go out there and win a game. And if you can't and you go 0-6,
hey, Red Danny.
Then I don't know what Oregon State's waiting for.
Yeah.
At that point, because Bray refuses to make changes.
Yep. You got to make them for him then.
You got to make them for him.
Yep.
So I think that's a monster game. Believe it or not, of all the games, that may be the one that I'm most interested in. And if you're an Oregon State fan, maybe you do want him to lose, because I know a lot of people want Bray out. I want to believe in people. I want to believe that you can start bowing your back and showing some signs of life.
But they've had opportunities to do that, and it hasn't happened yet. And this might be your last to prove it.
You got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Got to figure it out. When we come back, we move on to the NFL with definitely a more interesting slate than maybe what college football has going on. Primetime here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I think we all want to be a man of increase. I'm also actively rooting for Aaron Boone to do something dumb in this Yankees-Red Sox game, which, by the way, bottom of 8, 3-3. I just want to see Yankee fan meltdown. I actually kind of want to see this game go to elimination, but just the idea of Aaron Boone making two moves in a row,
yeah,
and hearing Long Island Stew just freak out, I would. There's part of me that would chuckle quite hard.
I'm not going to lie. I need more Hogdale in my life, too. So if he can blow one and Hogdale can get fired up again, I'm here for it.
Switching gears to the NFL, let me just say, for the record, the most interesting game on this schedule, and it is for the silliest of reasons, but I believe that this is the greatest uniform game of all time.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I saw the well, one of the teams involved put up the graphic of it today.
I just... Right into my veins.
Yep, it's perfect.
First off, every NFL team realized your throwback is better than your regular uniform.
Yes.
Now, with an exception. When you do the way, way backs, the Green Bay Packers, the Detroit Lions, that stuff's dumb.
Right.
Okay, I don't know what that is. When
no.
the Packers wear that weird, like, unmarked...
It's like navy blue with a yellow circle, and then they wear plain brown helmets to signify the leather helmets. Right out. With
what that. What are we doing with that?
That's
has
silly.
That has that ever sold one piece of merchandise or gear, a jersey, anything in the history of them doing that?
And listen, I think teams and programs with tradition in sports should lean into tradition, but not if it looks like ass.
Well, and no one wants it.
That's the thing. It's not getting anyone extra fired up. No. You've already got a throwback iconic look anyways.
Yeah, the Lions wear that weird one for for Thanksgiving sometimes.
It's just plain blue and silver.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
It's just a plain blue, nothing on it. No one buys that.
No.
I don't get that. But the throwbacks, when anyone does them, they look better every single week. And we may be getting the only one that I would be interested in. A conversation that this would be a better look is if the Houston Oilers were involved in this.
Okay.
It's the only one.
Okay.
Because the Tennessee Titans can do the, they actually are the Houston Oilers.
Right.
So every now and then they do the actual Houston
the
Oilers.
Oiler throwbacks, yeah.
That's the only one that I'd be interested in listening to.
Okay.
But this week we get the 80s Seahawks, the Kurt Warner, Dave Craig Seahawks.
Yep. Steve Largent and company.
And we get the Creamsicles.
Yes. The away all-white creamsicles.
It's just...
With the Seahawks royal blue and silver 90s look.
It's perfect.
It's perfect.
This is what football...
Go check the Seahawks Twitter account. They mocked up what those two jerseys look like side-by-side this weekend, and you are right, it is perfection.
Yeah, the only thing that could make this better is if the Seahawks and the NFL allowed them to do like a color rush thing where you could have the orange creamsicles... Versus the Royal Blues.
Sure, sure.
If you could do that, but that's I'm being nitpicky here. But every time I see the Seahawks that go with the throwback, and they put the little video up of the equipment guy putting the logos on the throwback helmets.
Yeah, the old kind of totem pole looking Native American Seahawk art. Yeah.
Why do the Seahawks have those uniforms that look like ass?
I don't know.
Is that?
Some years ago, the Niners actually went back to their, you know, they have the numbers with like the shadow block print.
Yeah.
They used to just have the plain white, and everyone's like, no, the throwbacks look better. So they've just gone to using that as a regular uniform.
Yeah. The Seahawks uniforms, their regular uniforms, are just, they're one of the worst in the NFL. They're terrible. And then when you see the beauty of the 80s throwback, the Steve Largents, if you will, it makes my soul happy. And by the way, that's actually a really good game.
Great game.
I'm 100% intrigued by that. I'm also intrigued. I saw this number today. Do you know that we've already had 51 quarterbacks play?
What?
In the NFL already?
I did not know that.
We got 51.
Oh, by the way, Yankees just took the lead.
Oh, what happened?
We got an RBI double, Jazz Chisholm sliding in home just in time.
No, oh, the Jazzer.
Or I guess RBI single, the runner didn't advance. But
with his oven mitt.
Yes.
Yeah, we I saw this that we're already up to 51. I think there's been 43 that have started and 51 that have played meaningful snaps.
Well, the 43 might even be the more alarming number because that's starting the game with those guys. That means almost half of your league has not been able to send their starter out just a quarter of the way into the season at some point.
No. And this is just kind of we talked about this the other day when we were talking about like bad quarterback play. part of the reason we have bad quarterback play too is we can't keep anyone healthy. And so you wonder, like, all the rules that we have in place in the NFL, if you wonder why we have all those rules to protect anyone, does anyone want to see Jake Browning play football?
They do not.
You do not. Imagine if you had football the way we have it today, but we didn't protect quarterbacks. I was watching that Dallas Cowboy horse crap fluff piece that they did on Netflix. And when you watch what happened to Troy Aikman and Steve Young back in the day, you're like, how are they not dead? Like, we do everything we can to protect quarterbacks. And I actually saw today the Move in the Chains guys, Pat Kerwin and Jim Miller, were talking about this. Last year, I believe we had 64 quarterbacks that started games in the NFL.
Which is exactly double the number of starters the league needs.
Yes. Yes. And that's just starts. And it's way more than that to take snaps. And they were pointing out that we're already above 40 and we're 4 weeks into the season.
Not good.
And they're like, and even worse, O-line combinations.
Yeah. O-line combinations protecting the already backup quarterback.
And so when you want to look at teams that are struggling, like the Tennessee Titans are one of the worst teams in the league. Would you care to guess? Because then I got into this whole deep dive of, if we're having this many quarterbacks that are playing, the other one that we don't talk about enough is O-line combinations, right? Because we talked about this, and we just had this conversation yesterday, that when one O-lineman gets hurt, a lot of times, or especially two, you have to kind of shuffle and move guys around. Would you care to guess what the Tennessee Titans, the number, the percentage of snaps that they have had their starting offensive linemen in the game?
Oh,
all five.
Oh, not many. Let's say 4%.
No, it's 25%.
Oh, okay.
25%. There is half the league that has not had their starting offensive line on the field for more than 50% of their snaps.
Yeah, that is hard to get good quality football when that's the case.
Yes. And going back to last year, there was, like over the course of the season, it's almost impossible. The number one team last year was the Green Bay Packers, and they kept their starting offensive line on the field for 80%. That was the most. Half the league, if you cut the league in half, so the line of demarcation for the bottom half of the league was less than 40%. Dead average in the league was about 39% of where you kept your starters on the field. So when you talk about quarterback play and you talk about offensive line play, one of the problems, the biggest problems we have in the league is just keeping guys on the field. And yet we constantly want to add more games. And you look at like what's happening with some of these bad teams, a lot of it just simply comes down to O-line play. The Chargers last week lost simply because
they didn't have two tackles.
They didn't have two tackles. And when you don't have your two tackles and you're playing against a team with a good front, the Chargers are infinitely better than the New York Giants. But they have kept their Justin Herbert has actually been very durable.
Mm-hmm.
But when you lose two tackles, what do you want him to do?
Yeah, and that, and you know, we talked about it yesterday. When you have some of the restrictions that truly prevent teams from developing their backups throughout the year, you're going to get a lot of guys out there who don't belong out there at the NFL standard.
Yeah, and one of the things about that quarterbacks, and look, I'm not faulting anybody, but you know, Lamar is out for a couple of weeks. Joe Burrow is seemingly out. One of the things that you have to like about your quarterback, if you're like, I mean, obviously, there's a lot to like about Patrick Mahomes. There's a lot to like about Josh Allen. There's a lot to like about the top three or four quarterbacks in the league. But you know what a lot of those guys have in common? They stay on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Joe Burrow is as good as anyone in this league.
The best ability is availability.
I think Joe Burrow is amazing. And I think when Joe Burrow is healthy, you can make a case that Joe Burrow is the second best quarterback in the league. He's never healthy.
Nope.
And what is the problem that Cincinnati has every year? They can't put together an offensive line. Mm-hmm. So now you have an injury-prone quarterback, and you refuse to protect him, and here we are again having to watch Jake Browning play.
Yep.
They did say, by the way, that they have unwavering belief in Jake Browning.
Sure. Who's third string there?
They might want to start having...
I know there were noises about trying to see if you could get Jameis Winston.
Yeah, famous Jameis. I think Brett Rippon is there.
Hmm. The Brett Rippon experience, that's what all Cincinnati fans want.
I would also like to point out that the Cincinnati Bengals are playing the Detroit Lions.
Ugh.
Yeah, that game
might be a survivor pick this week.
If you had to have a survivor pick,
it's a good one.
Might I just circle that and say that there is zero chance? And now that I've said that, they will lose. The Lions are going to bludgeon, and I mean bludgeon, the Cincinnati Bengals. Some more NFL games to look ahead when we come back. One more second before we move into Club Diddity here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
By the way, we had the Mekhi Hughes report, and someone did point out, and it is true, his brother is on the team. So
that's right.
You know, I guess that the idea that he could stay, but if you were just going to stay, why would you redshirt to not play next year?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Unless you think you're going to crack your way into the rotation next year, but that seems, based on this year,
not
going
to happen. Yeah. This depth chart is going to get harder. And tougher. And again, the people that you are going to play behind are freshmen, and there is a new crop of freshmen that are coming next year. But hey, maybe he does want to just hang around. But the other one, too, is if he's going to redshirt and wants to stick around next year, my guess is Oregon will encourage him to go elsewhere. This is kind of the dirty secret of the transfer portal, by the way. Teams unrecruit their own players to the tune of about half. Like, when you see kids enter the transfer portal, about half of those kids were basically told by their team,
we're not going to have a spot for you.
Not up in here.
Hop out.
Time to go. So you recruit some of your guys to stay, and you unrecruit some of your guys to leave. And I can't imagine Oregon wanting to keep Mekhi Hughes around because his brother.
Yeah.
So my guess is...
Or Mekhi Hughes wanting to be around because his brother.
Yeah, that's a
he
weird...
Wants, you got to imagine he wants an opportunity to go rush for another 1,400 yards.
Yeah, he was a 1,500-yard back.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, honestly, outside of... Who was it? It was Jaden Ott, Hughes, and there was...
Genty.
And Genty. Or no, not Genty, because Genty wasn't in the portal. There was one
other... Oh, in the portal. Yeah.
It was Ott, it was Hughes, and there was one other one that was a big name. They were like... There was like three big name backs. I'm trying to remember who the other one was that ended up being the big transfer. And by the way, none of them are doing anything. Ott's not playing at Oklahoma. Hughes didn't play at all at Oregon. And there was one other one that also is not doing Jack Squat, whose name escapes me, but it just goes to show you that the transfer portal isn't always Roszelberry, Frogert, and Scones. When you're the man at Tulane and you go to Oregon, there are better players. And there's no guarantee when you get transferred in that you are going to be given a spot. We all assumed. I thought Mekhi Hughes was going to be a huge part of what Oregon
did. At least like a timeshare back with Whittington or something like that.
Yeah, but, and it just wasn't.
I mean, and part of that is because guys like Jaden Lamar and De'Aaron Hill have been outstanding. And Jordan Davison, too, can come in and catch the ball to the backfield, be a short yardage guy. They've got a lot of dudes in that room.
Yeah. The other one that I'm interested in the NFL this week, there's actually a couple marquee games. Besides the fact that just uniform games. By the way, Brock Purdy out again.
And Mac Jones will not have his top two receivers. Yeah. No Ricky Pearsall, no Juwan Jennings.
And no Brandon Ayuk, by the way. Who's
and still no George Kittle.
Boy, I'll tell you what. That Niners situation. So they're saying that Brock Purdy, he's not saying he's more injured. He's just saying that because of the short week, he probably shouldn't have played last week. He was nowhere near 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying on the short week, he just doesn't the recovery time. Yeah. So the plan is for Brock Purdy to play next week, because again, playing on Thursday, he'll have extra time. But yeah, no Brock Purdy, no Ayuk, no Pearsall, no Jennings, no Kittle. Who would have thought that Christian McCaffrey would be the last man standing?
Yeah. Well, yeah, nobody had those odds. No one was placing that bet.
The other one I want to see is Denver and Philadelphia. You know, this is in Philly, by the way.
Yeah.
Bo Nix is 4-7 on the road as a starter.
Okay.
And Bo has kind of had a little bit of that. He started the year pretty poor last year, kind of turned it on, and then had some bad moments and then turned it on. And now this season has been a little kind of rocky.
A little hit and miss, probably more miss than hit.
And here you are on the road. You're 2-2. You're going on the road to Philly. And Philadelphia, I don't know how Philadelphia is undefeated. It's the damnedest thing in the world.
They're a weird little enigma. That they're one of only two undefeated teams in the NFL. You mentioned yesterday, they didn't complete a pass in the second half of their win on Sunday. And yet, you know, they're still revered as one of the best teams in football because they just find a way.
It's unbelievable. And I want to see Bo Nix against this Philadelphia defense. So that's one that I've circled. Also, did you see today that A.J. Brown claims that his weird cryptic post was not directed towards anybody?
I didn't even see, I saw that he made a cryptic post, but I didn't see what it was. Was it like a Bible verse or something like that?
Yeah, he's a big religious guy.
Yeah, well, and he also reads books on the sideline.
Yeah, which is fascinating. And he openly wants to kill
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Which, how Philadelphia manages to hold it together is fascinating to me. But also, do not bet against Philadelphia because they find a way to operate in chaos. It's incredible. So he tweeted out this Bible verse. By the way, this was after he had two catches for 7 yards.
He's had one good game, and everything else has basically looked like he's not there.
He had one good quarter.
Yes.
That was the game against the Rams where their offense was going nowhere. They were down by 3 scores, and they just started feeding the ball to him. And A.J. Brown is that good. He single-handedly won him that game. He was targeted 9 times, by the way, in that Tampa Bay game.
Uh-huh.
But he had 2 catches for 7 yards. And he tweeted out.
Yeah.
He posted on, I don't know if he tweeted it. It was on Instagram, I believe.
Yeah.
If you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw, don't make a scene, shrug your shoulders, and be on your way.
Is he advocating for himself quiet quitting? Because that's what it sounds like.
So he did say, he apologized today. He said he let his frustrations boil over.
But it wasn't about that.
But then he also said in the same interview, his post on social media wasn't directed at anyone inside the building, including Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Which I find interesting because you just said you let your emotions boil over. But if you didn't let your emotions boil over and then you posted that, and that wasn't directed at anyone, then why are you apologizing for letting them boil over? It's quite strange.
Yeah.
But and then he also followed up with saying, I don't think it's a bad thing for wanting the ball. It's not just for targets or anything to put up numbers. No. I see that we're struggling, and I'm a guy that wants the ball in those times when we can't find a way. Give it to me.
Well, when if it were that easy, don't you think they'd be doing that, AJ?
He's fascinating. He is a fascinating guy because he's the typical pain in the ass receiver,
yep.
But he does it like in a weird kind of...
He tries to do it in this like passive-aggressive diplomatic way instead of just being outwardly brazen towards his teammates and whatever. And it's hard to even figure out who he's mad at. Is this Jalen Hurts' fault? Is this the offensive coordinator's fault? Is this Sirianni's fault? Who would you like to take the blame for this?
Yeah, I don't know. But that's just a weird beat.
And you're undefeated.
They're undefeated. Exactly. Like, I mean, last year, same thing. They were cruising. They won a Super Bowl. But he's not happy because he doesn't get the ball, even though he said it's not about targets or touches. The other one, too, Chiefs-Jags. I want to see. This is Monday night.
Duval.
A lot of hype around the Jags right now.
Yeah.
Right? By the way, defense elite right now. Number one turnover defense in the NFL and a lot of buzz. But I would like to point out that they have beaten the Carolina Panthers, the Houston Texans,
and
the San
Francisco
49ers.
Yeah.
And they lost to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah. Yeah.
No offense to their defense, but Panthers, Texans, Niners. Two of those teams have no offense to speak of. One team has an okay offense, but no one's healthy. And now you get Kansas City. I'm intrigued by this. And by the way, it's at home.
Mm-hmm.
And Kansas City, which seemed to have their offensive problems, boy, it came alive against the Ravens. That's why I said, like, even in college football, there's some prove-it weeks to me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see where this is at.
Yeah.
Is Kansas City back?
Yeah.
Is all the offensive problems kind of gone away and Worthy's back and Rasheed Rice is coming eventually?
Mm-hmm.
But Kansas City seemed to kind of hit the gas last week. So is all that stuff kind of just in the past about the struggles? Or is Jacksonville for real? And by the way, Trevor Lawrence doesn't look that good.
No.
Despite the fact that they are 3-1 and there's this hype around Jacksonville, Lawrence does not have good numbers. And so I'm very intrigued by that. So even though maybe not the most exciting slate in the world, I do think there's some very interesting games that are kind of those... After 4 weeks, you kind of have an idea of where people are at, and now it's time to start solidifying that.
Yeah, there's a lot of intrigue there. A
lot of intrigue. The other intrigue that we have is, do you want to take the Carolina Reaper Mile?
Oh, I'm going to guess I do not want to take the Carolina Reaper Mile.
I also saw a story that we need to talk about, because I was this close to apparently getting arrested.
Oh.
There was a news story that something I was considering doing a few months ago.
Jaywalking again?
No. I was not arrested, even though a $300 jaywalking ticket, that the person that should have been arrested was that Tampa cop who wrote me a $300 jaywalking ticket. No, there is a vet that has been convicted of something.
Oh.
And I was this close to potentially being convicted of something.
Oh.
And I'm glad that I decided to, to not engage in this.
Color me intrigued.
Yeah. All of that in the club when we come back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.